Galatians 6, and I wanted to really bring out this morning, talk about the principle of sowing and reaping. And again, our topic or theme for the new year is Thrive in 25, and I know that you're striving to thrive and not just survive. A lot of people today just surviving, man. Just trying to get along. Talked to an elderly guy a while back. He said, I'm just trying to get along. I'm just trying to survive. And you think about today, a lot of people are that way, even in their Christian life. They're just trying to get by. We don't have to live that way. We can actually thrive because the Bible says we are more than conquerors. And he says what? You can be successful in this life. Even though there's sin, there's a lot of things happening as we sang the song earlier. Listen, it's well with my soul. When everything is falling apart, I know in whom I have believed. Galatians chapter 6. And if you will, go down to verse 7. Let's read a few verses here. Verse 7. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Okay, you're not going to mock God. You're not going to try to make God look bad. You're not going to try to show up God and do a one-up on him. A lot of people say, well, I got away with this sin and God never punished me. No, it'll come. I got away with this. Nothing ever happened. No, that's what he's saying. God's not mocked. Notice, for whatsoever man soweth, that, notice, shall he also reap. You know, a lot of people go out and try to sow their wild oats, and then what do? They pray for a crop failure, don't they? I'm sowing my wild oats, do whatever I want to do, and then, boy, I hope those consequences don't come back and get me. And notice what he says, verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh, this is very interesting, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now notice verse 9, and let us, that's us, you and me, not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, that's God's timing, we shall reap if we faint not. Very familiar portion of Scripture once again, and that's what we've been talking about since the beginning of the year. We've been really hitting on familiar portions of Scripture that I know you know, but thinking about what Paul is talking to these churches in the region of Galatia. Paul went up there, you recall back in the early days, and he preached the gospel, and he saw many churches started up in this area. And because of that, they literally contacted Paul, said, Paul, we need some help. Paul, there's some dissension in the church. There's people that are not following God like you told us to do. So Paul writes a letter. And when you get a letter from Paul, you know, sometimes it ain't a good thing, right? And somebody said, what if your church received a letter from Paul today? What would it be? What would it be like? And so the church receives this letter. And what does he say in the beginning portion? He says what? I marvel you're so soon removed. What's he saying? I'm shocked that you've already closed your Bible and done your own thing. By the way, do you know the difference between a cult and a church? From time to time, somebody makes a joke. You guys a cult over there? I say, no, but we're having Kool-Aid tonight. Come and join us. And that was a joke. Don't do that. We're having Kool-Aid Sunday. What's the difference? A cult is led by a man or a woman. The church is led by who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Can you hear me in the back? Okay. Okay. Jesus Christ. Period. Now, there are some things in the Bible that don't expressly tell us what to do. It doesn't say, thou shalt have church at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. There's some things that we pray about. Lord, what do you want us to do here? There's some people that have changed their weekly schedule for the church. They may meet at 9:45 or they may meet a little later. You've been to a church in the South? They're there at church from 9 a.m. to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Anybody been to a church like that? They meet for church for about 3 hours. They break. Miss Dawn, you know that, right? They break. They have lunch. And then what? They come back for about two, three more hours. They're going, you been to an African-American church? Man, they have a good time. That's an exciting church. They're there for a long time. You been to a Hispanic church? My wife's church? Good time. And they're there. He preached for an hour and a half. And I said, oh, is it done? Is he done? She goes, no, not yet. I said, oh, okay. They have a little bit of they do a few things. They do their service a little different, have the offering, and they sing a couple more songs. And boy, when they sing, oh, Victoria en Jesus, you know, I mean, they're just having a blast. And then she said, we got a little bit longer. We went a little bit longer, and I said, is there carne asada afterwards or something? What's the incentive here? What's the incentive here? And he said, Pastor Timoteo, and he said a bunch of stuff, and I knew he was talking to me. And then my wife said, he's calling you up on the platform. I said, what? And so I got, I walked up there, and you know, I'm just standing there like, I was waiting to hear gringo or wed or something, you know. And he didn't. They were very kind, very sweet people, but they go for a while. You know, the difference, though, is that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We do whatever he tells us to do. We follow the book. A cult, I'm trying to get to because this is what Paul was combating here in the book of Galatians. A cult says this. They close this, and he puts it over here, and he says, okay, now, let me tell you what God revealed to me. Wrong. Let me tell you the vision I had. Wrong. I had a guy, I told you this before, but a few years back, he said, Brother Tim, I had a vision, man. I said, well, what was your vision? And sure enough, almost 9 times out of 10, it never aligns with this right here, right? And he said, well, I had a vision. God told me to leave my wife and kids and go on a spiritual journey. And right there, I interrupted him. I said, well, that's not right. What do you mean? I said, that's not right. God would never tell you to abandon your family to go serve him somewhere. Never would. And he got upset, you know, wow, you don't know the vision I had. I said, well, sir, it doesn't match the Bible. It doesn't align with Scripture. And Paul is writing here, and he says, I marvel you're so soon removed from what I gave to you, what I preached to you. And now he's saying, I want to bring out to you something of a principle that's found, by the way, throughout the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Now, how many are with our Bible reading schedule? You're reading through Leviticus right now. Brother Fred and I were talking about that. Boy, we're into Leviticus, and he talks about there's like 2 full chapters on leprosy. Okay, when the spot in the skin is this, and you're going, huh? I mean, he keeps going on about it. There's a point to it. All right, there's a point. Later on, he's going to use leprosy. He's going to use the leaven to bring out some spiritual application, so there's a good things to read. Anyways, we find throughout the Bible the principle of sowing and reaping. If you lived any length of time, and if you've been a Christian for more than 3 days, you know that there is something called sowing and reaping. You sow something, you're going to reap it. Now, here's what the old saying goes. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, you ultimately reap a destiny. Really, where are you going to spend eternity, number one? But what is the destiny? Now, I don't particularly like that word, but what's your destiny? Where are you going to end up? Is it going to be a failure on the side of the road, or are you going to be a successful Christian? It all comes back and starts with, what are you sowing? Okay, now, let's look at this morning. First of all, I want you to notice the warning given to us in verse 7. He says, be not deceived. Don't be deceived now. Remember who God is. Remember what he does. Now, this is what we said last week with Isaiah chapter 40. Remember what he said. He says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard? He says, we got to have a knowledge of who God is. There's experiential knowledge, and there's what we call just knowledge on paper. Experiential knowledge, there's a phrase in the Bible that says, now I know. Now I know. Well, how do you know now? We're teaching the kids the difference between those words, now and know. K-N-O-W. N-O-W, now I know. What is it? That's experiential knowledge. You slam your finger in the door, that's all it takes. Now you shut the door real careful. You know, little Timmy put his hand up on the stove. It was, you know, he liked the color of it. You know, he pulled it off real quick, started crying. Now he walks by the stove and he does this. He looked, you know, he knows, man. He hit his head, bonked his head again last night. Bonk. And he got up, shook his head a little bit. He was fine. He knows, though, the owie. You think about the knowledge we're supposed to have. Now, there's a warning. He says this, if you know God, remember, be not deceived. Don't let people deceive you. This is one of the key words in the book of Galatians, deception. These Judaizers and these false prophets came into the church and they started preaching false doctrine and heresy. And I want to encourage you with this. When you spend time in this book, you get this thing called discernment all of a sudden. Discretion all of a sudden. These are characteristics we've studying on Wednesday nights. Characteristics of a Christian. All of a sudden you get these things. When you hear somebody talk about the Bible, you hear somebody preach or teach, and they say something that's not right, you go, well, that's not right. How did I know that? You're spending time in this book. This is an amazing thing. And the Word of God gives you that knowledge. There's a warning. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows or soweth, that shall he also reap. Not if, shall. Will. It's a guarantee. You sow it, you're going to reap it. You plant it in the ground, it's going to come back. Now, it may not come back soon. It may not come back the way you think, but remember this. Now, this is the warning for us. Let's flip it over to the positive side. You sow spiritual things, you're going to reap spiritual. You know, some people say, well, what's the point? I come to church week after week. I read my Bible consistently. I'm faithful. I'm not running around on my wife. I'm not doing anything wrong like that. I've been a pure and clean teenager. I'm not messing around. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. I'm paying my bills, paying my tax. What do I get out of that? You just hold on. Remember, your treasure is not here. Jesus says what? There are things on the earth that you're saving. There's money and finances and other stuff that you're holding back. And he says, be careful because there's something called a thief. A thief, we have one of our, they're not here this morning, one of our church members. I was talking with them last week. I said, how you doing? He said, pretty good. I said, oh, what's up? I could tell. He said, well, somebody hacked into our bank account and took all our money out. And I said, you're kidding. I said, all of it? He said, yeah, all of it. And they got it back, you know, because of they had all those things put in place. But I think about it, there's thieves that'll break through and steal your money. What else does Jesus say? Well, where moth get through, corrupt your fancy garments, where rust gets in and corrupts whatever you have that you think is so precious. And he says, but here's what you should do. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor thieves can break through and steal. And that's the goal for us. He ends that whole thing with this. Seek ye first. Here it is. You want to know your priorities? Seek ye first. What's the first thing I should do, Lord? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things, things is a generic word we use to describe a bunch of other stuff we can't articulate. All these things, and what did he just talk about? Clothes, money, savings, materialism will be added unto you. That doesn't mean you're going to be a well-off person by following the Lord. We know that to be true. What's he saying, though? Your priorities are set. So when we come back to this, he says, listen, whatsoever you sow, it's an all-inclusive whatsoever. You know, if you think about it, some people say, well, if I sow here, it may not come to fruition. I may not reap it. Whatever the case is. He says, no, remember this, in a spiritual application, we have it. He says, don't be deceived. Some men boast today that I've done and I've sown and done whatever I've wanted to do and have not reaped the consequences of my actions. Again, he says, no, God's not mocked. And you may not pay a price here, they will pay a price eventually. Now, you know this, Jesus said. They asked him one day, they said, Lord Jesus, what about these people that hurt little babies and kids? What about those people that hurt children? Does that not bother? That's one of the things that bothers me the most is when they hurt kids. You're such a loser and everything, other words we could use, you're going to hurt a kid. He says, well, here's this. It's better that a millstone were hanging about their neck, a giant stone, and they were cast into the depth of the sea. You're not going to recover from that one. You don't swim your way out of that one. Then what's going to meet that person on judgment day? That's what he's saying. Now you think about, there are consequences. There are things that we have to look at. And we see it both sides, both the sinful side and then the spiritual side of it. Now, I want to encourage you with that as I was getting to. You stay faithful to God, stay faithful to church, stay faithful to Him. There are rewards to that. May not be here. You may live very poor on this earth. You may have very little. Your vehicle may be constantly breaking down. Okay. Yeah, we dealt with that last week. Oh. Just always something. One light came on. Oh, okay, fixed it. Another light came on. And then I called Brother Wes. I say, Brother Wes, the light came on. What? Bring it over. Brought it over. Couldn't figure out what was going on with it. You may have certain things like that. And by the way, many of you in here are dealing with cancers. You're dealing with real problems. You're dealing with issues at home and personal problems and some emotional issues and all of that. And he says, now listen, you remember that all of your treasure's in heaven. One day, you may not get it here. You'll get it when you get to where you're going. We see it today that many people today, it's called a humanistic philosophy. They say, well, I'm my own God. I'll decide what's right and wrong. that comes back to mocking God. It's funny to me, I've sat in a counseling session with young people and others, and they say, I don't know how this happened. And the question comes back to, didn't you say you were your own God? Didn't you reject the Lord? And by the way, by rejecting the gospel, by rejecting the Bible, by rejecting the God of the Bible, you're saying, in essence, I'm my own God. And now she's expecting, but I thought you were your own God. And now their relationship is on the shambles and in the rocks. I thought you were your own God. I thought you made your own decisions. You think about it, now, we're coming back to the Bible. We're simply saying, what do you want me to do? And as we learned in our Bible Institute last week, if there is a God, then we better find out what he wants us to do and do it. If there is no God, we get to the end of all things. Hey, we didn't lose much. We lived righteously. We lived holy lives. But if there is a God, which there is, we better find out what he wants us to do. And he's calling us to a life of maturity. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Maturity says, I'm looking out ahead. Okay, I better not start that habit now because I see what happens at 65. Another characteristic of a child of God is the incredible ability to look out into the future. We're not foretellers and other things, but we can see into the future. We look out with a maturity and say, well, I see the result of that. I'm not going to go there. Some of you dear people, you've already told me your testimonies of an amazing life of God brought you out of addiction. He brought you up out of addiction. And the psalmist says, he brought me up out of a horrible pit and he put my feet upon solid ground and he also put a song in my mouth. I got a new life now. I'm enjoying life. Brought you up out of that. And so we see the maturity level of the believer. If I put that seed in the ground, I know it's going to happen. I better not do that. If I put the seed over here in this spiritual ground, that's what I'm looking forward to. That's what I want. That's where I am. Okay, now seeing now, let's move on to verse 8. He says, notice, for he that soweth to his flesh, he that soweth to his flesh. So not only the warning given to us, but we also see the choice given. We have to make choices. Life is built up and made out of choices. Every day we make multiple choices of what to do, where to go. A man sitting on death row today in a prison. In fact, I was just contacted about doing a prison ministry, and I thought that would be kind of interesting. But a prison ministry, they sit in their cells. They don't have a lot of choices. You sit there and they bring you something to eat and you don't have a choice. Well, I don't like this today. Well, then you can starve. We're not going to feed you. Something else. They give you a set time and a set thing. You and I that are out, and you got to thank God every day for your freedom. You got to thank God every day for your liberty. You ever been trapped in something? You ever been stuck in a relationship or something like that? You ever been stuck somewhere like that? You go, man, I want liberty. I want to get out of this thing. And you think through it and say, well, okay, I have a choice today because of my liberty. Now, one thing that Jesus gives us is liberty. With liberty comes the beautiful gift called a choice. There are people today in communist countries that have no choice. There are people living in communist societies that have no choice. We in America have choice after choice. We have so many choices that we almost get irritated, don't we? I said this before. You've been to Walmart down the cereal aisle, down the candy aisle. I mean, just we went over there the other day. I was looking for some gum. I just wanted chewing gum. They got 56 different kinds of gum. And I'm like, what kind of gum should I get? What do we do? We have so many choices today, being silly about that, but it almost becomes irritating to say, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. The choices given to us, again, he says in 1 Corinthians 3, you don't have to turn there, but again, what are you building with? Wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. The day, he says, will reveal if your structure is sound. What'd you build with? What'd you slap together? You grabbed some lumber you found in a yard. You grabbed a few things over here and slapped it together. Ain't good. You get the right material for the job. You get the right people for the job. And you say, God, I want to do what you want me to do. And the choices come back to, are we following him and his book? Sowing to the flesh always reaps corruption. Sowing to the Spirit always reaps. Notice, Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's true. It really is. By the way, the Holy Spirit if you're truly a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. How to describe that? Many people can't do that. The Holy Spirit's within you. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, He can be in multiple places, we know that, His omnipresence, He will magnetize you, if you have the Holy Spirit within you, to that place. This is why we come to church. Even though sometimes you don't want to come to church, and even though you feel like it's an obligation or a duty to come to church, and other times you feel a joy to come to church. I want to be in church. That's because the Holy Spirit is here, pulling you here, pulling you there. This is why we should be praying every day. Lord, lead me to the people you want me to interact with. Lead me to the people that are searching for the truth. Why? We're trying to give them the Holy Spirit. We want to give them the gospel that then they receive and in essence then, consequently, receive the Holy Spirit. What we're doing today is making the choice to say, I want to sow spiritual things. Now again, you know this. Many of you have, some of you grew up on a farm. You've been around this kind of stuff. Sowing and reaping is a difficult process. It takes time. A farmer or a husbandman, the Bible word is husbandman, does not go out and dig a little hole, put a seed in, start watering it, and expect to come out the next morning and see a little sprout. It's going to take time. You have to obey the seasons. You have to obey nature. Okay, some people try to harvest things too early, and the other farmers walk by and look at it and kind of laugh. I read this yesterday in my Bible reading, Luke chapter 14, I believe it is. He says, listen, if you don't sit down and count the cost first, or you begin the foundation and then you run out of money. We've seen this many times. You run out of money, can't finish the house. People walk by and they laugh. He started, couldn't even finish it. What a fool. He says, you need to sit down and consider. Now, the context of that is this. What is it? Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you must what? Give up everything else. He must take up his cross and follow me. He must follow me fully. God never is satisfied and will never accept, by the way, half-hearted discipleship, half-hearted fellowship. He won't accept it. He says you're all in or nothing. And that's why so many Christians today, including myself, struggle because we straddle the fence. Well, I'm going to keep this over here. I'm going to do this for the Lord. And I'm going to dabble over here in this. I'm going to keep this. We struggle. And then what do? We get unrest. And we get anxiety. We get depressed sometimes. We get pulled apart. God says, I want to be single, focused. I want all of you. Now think about this, the sowing. God says, if you do, you will see it. Joshua makes reference. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Elijah there on the mount, he calls out the prophets and he says what? Hey, come on, do your thing and let's see what happens. They sat there and they chanted and cut their arms and prayed to their god Baal. Nothing happened. He says, okay, now step aside, stand aside. Let me show you what's going to happen here now. He says, maybe your god's on vacation. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe you need to wake him up. He says, now he prays down and he prays God and he asks God, Lord, to do your thing basically. Fire falls from heaven, licks up all that water, destroys, basically comes down fire, destroys some of them, the altar, all the things that happened. You know the story. And the people bow down, all of them, and they say, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Says it twice. They're chanting, He's the God. He's the God. He says, choose today. Elijah says in that whole context, he says, choose you this day, or in essence, he comes back and says this, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then serve Him. And if Baal be God, serve him. It's not hard. Make the choice. If you're your own God, serve that. Sow to that. Put all your eggs in one basket. Put seed in the ground for that. But I'm telling you something. If the Lord is the God, then serve Him. And the people chant and say, oh, we know He's the God. We believe it. Let me hasten here. Let's get to the next point. Notice, though, there's the reward. Not only the warning, but the reward given. He says in verse 9, and let us not be weary. Now, not in hardship, not in sin. Sin doesn't get wearisome. I mean, you could do something over and over. It, for some reason, doesn't get wearisome. It gets difficult, and it wreaks havoc on your body and wreaks havoc on your mind, but it doesn't get weary. You know what gets weary? Well-doing, doesn't it? You know what gets weary? Coming to church every week. Get weary trying to hold your marriage together. You know what gets weary? Trying to keep your eyes focused and not on other things. Wearisome is staying faithful to what you know you should do, although it's difficult to do. You know what I'm saying. He says that weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Here's the reason. Don't get weary. Don't quit in the well-doing. For, that means because. In due season, God's timing will receive. The problem you and I have, I've said this many times, is not necessarily with God's will, it's His timing. The timing bothers me the most because I want it now. Some of you younger people, you want to get married now, or you want to find that person now. Others of us, we want to get out of debt now. We want this now. We want it now. God says, well, in due time. God allows to go through that difficult season. God allows to take the detour, if you will, sometimes, just to what? Teach us a little lesson, to appreciate what we have. Sometimes we see it. We go through valleys, and I said last week that when we go through valleys, we find that the flowers and the fruit and the lush gardens, they all grow in the valley. They don't grow up at the top of the mountain. It's pretty barren up there, usually. But we all want the mountaintop experience. Oh, I want to live on the mountaintop. Woo, feels good up here. I love it. And you look around and go, well, I got a lot of fruit, though, down in the valley. I saw a lot of health down in the valley. God let me go through that season in my life for a reason. So the due season is always God's timing. And when you pray, I want to encourage you with this to say, God, all done in your timing. We have a whole list of prayer. If you're like me, I got a list of prayer requests. I got your name on a list praying for you. Okay? That's kind of scary to think about, but I'm praying for you. A list of names. And sometimes I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the details of your life, but I have your name, and I call your name out to the Lord. Lord, please be with them. Please be with them. Guide them. Help them. I don't know what they're dealing with today, but would you empower them and work in their life, whatever the case is. And we pray and we seek God. And when you pray, you conclude it with, Lord, your timing. Jesus came, as you know, and it says he knelt down in that garden. He asked his disciples to pray. They said, oh yeah, we'll pray, Lord. We'll pray, Lord. He goes off into little distance away under an old olive tree in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he begins to pray. The Bible says great sweat drops of blood came down his forehead. And he prayed. And what did he conclude it with? Not my will, but thine be done. Now, he's not just praying over a list of people. He's praying about what? Literally being tortured and executed within the next several hours. He says, not my will, but thine be done. Would you pray today and this week and say, God, I'm getting weary. I'm getting a little tired. I don't know if we can do it again. I can't stand this person, but I'm going to hold out and keep going. I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Why? Because if I sow in the Spirit, you promised I'll reap spiritual things. And Lord, you said you'll renew me. We said last week, Isaiah 40. They don't faint. They don't quit. We know that today. It's easy to become tired of sowing. It's easy to become anxious for the harvest. You know these farmers and others, some of you know this very well, they will invest almost all of their money into that sowing time. And everything is at stake for that harvest season coming up here soon. That harvest time will come and they'll reap and they'll make their profit, they'll make their money, but in the beginning year stage of the year, they get a little nervous because they've invested all their money into that. They put all their money into the seed. They put all their money into the workers that they have to hire and all the things they got to do. And they're just waiting with anticipation. Boy, they pray and hope that they will have a good harvest. And sometimes you get weary. You can faint. Notice the prerequisite to it, though. He says, if we faint not. That word faint means to quit. You get tired and frustrated and angry and discouraged. He says, don't quit. Many people throughout the Bible and throughout Scripture, they got to a point, I'm almost done here, but they got to a point where they said, I just can't do it anymore. John Mark was on the missionary journey, said, Paul, man, this is too hard for me. I'm going to go back home. Demas came and he was a good companion of Paul's. In Colossians, it says that Demas is with us. And then it says later in 2 Timothy, right, as Paul is about to literally be executed, he writes back to Timothy and says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the present world. He's gone back to his worldly ways. It was too hard. He quit. You don't think Abraham wanted to quit when he was sitting out in the middle of the desert in a tent? 90-something years old, waiting for God's promises to come to fruition, and it didn't come, it didn't happen, and all of a sudden Sarah says, I'm not feeling too good. What do you mean, honey? You're 90. You don't feel too good? Yeah, I don't feel good. I don't know something about it. I woke up this morning, oof. Could it be morning sickness? No. Oh, yeah. The Lord told us, didn't he? Oh, man, you ever forget about the promises of God? You don't think Moses was sick and tired of these people? We're reading through that in the Old Testament. He says, Lord, these are stiff-necked people. He comes to one point, he says, Lord, just take me home. Just kill me. Just kill me. You don't think he was weary? You don't think Joshua was weary? You don't think Joseph was weary sitting in a rat-infested prison cell? You don't think these men and women were weary, and Esther and Ruth and David and Samuel and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John? They were weary. And Peter says, I can't do this anymore. I go a-fishing. Meaning, I'm going back to fishing, boys. I'm done with this apostle stuff. Jesus, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to do. I failed the Lord. I'm so discouraged. I'm so depressed. I'm such a failure as a Christian. You ever feel that way? I'm such a man. I can't do it. I'm going fishing. And he got out there and they started toiling and fishing and going back to their old ways and realized how nasty and crummy it was and how hot and backbreaking work it was, and they couldn't catch anything. And he says, hey, children, did you catch anything? Have you any meat? Who is that there? They look over. John says, that's Jesus. That's the Lord. Peter says, huh? Jumps into the water, swims over to the shore. Jesus comes out, helps him up. They sit down, have a nice meal. He says, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. I know, Lord. But he says, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Can you imagine that? He just betrayed the Lord, probably his head down. Yes, Lord. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. You know that. He said, then feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed them. He goes on, and Peter will later write this very thing. And he says, listen, if you're a pastor, if you're a bishop, you need to feed the flock of God with the word of God. Are you feeding? People around you are anticipating you to be faithful. People around you are relying upon you to not quit and faint. They're relying upon you to have spiritual fruit. Although they don't have any spiritual fruit, they want you to have it. Isn't that interesting? They can live like the world, but not you. You stay faithful. They're looking to you. They're waiting for that. Let me hasten here. Let me close out Psalm 126, verse 5. I love this verse. Psalm 126 and verse 5. He says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Isn't that good? Yes. Wonderful. Doubtless come again. He's saying you go forth and you have to sow, and it's hard, and sometimes you weep, and sometimes you get tired and weary, and I can't keep going, I can't keep doing this. Let me ask you this. Consider the alternative today to being faithful to God, to being spiritual. Remember those days? It was a temporary high. It was a temporary pleasure, but it ultimately led you to a place of absolute torture. You were so depressed and so anxious, you couldn't figure out what it was. Bring back to this and come back. Hey, I want to sow to the spiritual. It's not an if, well, maybe you'll receive. No, it's will, shall you'll receive. You go forth, sow in tears, you'll reap in joy. And you'll step over this, what we call the spiritual line, from this earth into eternity. To be absent from the body, the Bible says to be present with the Lord. You don't go and sit and rot out in the ground. As soon as you die, your body goes into the ground, your soul goes to heaven, you're present with the Lord. And Lord willing, you'll hear this. Welcome. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye in. Welcome home. You made it. You're home. You sowed spiritual things. May not reap it now, but you will. Can I encourage you? Just closing here. Don't quit. Don't quit. It's always too soon to quit. It's always never a good time to quit. It's never a good time. It's just too soon. Don't do it. Give God another chance. I was reading this week in Matthew 26, I believe it is. But it says, he went a little farther. He went a little farther. He said, as I said, he left those three men, Peter, James, and John, here and said, pray. They couldn't pray. They fell asleep. It says he went a little farther. Aren't you thankful he went just a little farther? The old song goes that he could have simply walked away, left the cross where it lay. He didn't have to do that. He went all the way for us, didn't he? He went a little farther. You and I can go a little farther today. Keep going. Remember, you're sowing. Get rid of those things that would be, you would say in your mind, I'm planting some seed into some carnal things or into the fleshly things of this life that aren't helping us at all. Help me, Lord, to sow in that which is spiritual. Okay, I'll stop there. Would you stand with me, please, if you're able to? Thank you for listening and being here so faithfully. As we have our invitation, again, I want to encourage you with that. Think about and pray and ask the Lord, would you? Lord, help me to sow that seed, to sow the spiritual. I'm not looking for a handout. I'm not looking for a trophy or a reward for doing that. I know that's coming in the afterlife. Right now, I just want to be faithful to God. I don't want to quit. I don't want to faint. I don't want to throw in the towel. I'm going to keep going.